All right, good morning, everybody. I'd like to call to order the July 26th, 2022 meeting of the Cambria Community Healthcare District. We shall begin. Oh, it is 9:02, we'll say.
Okay.
And let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We do have a quorum that we have all members physically in attendance except Iggy Fedorov, who is joining us via Zoom this morning. And I would like to call for a motion to adopt the resolution allowing the board to conduct the board meeting within the guidelines of AB 316.
So moved.
Second.
On paper?
Aye.
Thank you.
Sorry. Do we have to ask for a comment from the public prior
to the resolution on AB 316?
Yeah, I just want to make sure. I don't know if that was the case or not. Usually Jeff chimes in if there's problems, so I just want to make sure we.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to be Jeff today?
No, I'm just
All right, we'll go backwards. Does any member of the public wish to speak on AB 316?
I would love to, but I don't know what it is.
That is actually the resolution that allows for us to have electronic meetings.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, isn't it great?
Yeah.
All right. And all in favor?
Aye.
The motion carries. Thank you. We will now take public comment for items not on today's agenda. Does any member of the public wish to speak on a matter not on the agenda?
Yes.
Fabulous.
Since I constitute the whole public assembly.
You have the floor.
I'm Bruce Lumper. Why I'm here is not to complain about anything. But I talked with Iggy, 3 weeks ago, with the need for new people, election coming up. So I'm thinking about it. Part of that means coming to the meeting here. I just wanted to say, as I ponder what it may cost me to volunteer for this role, it makes me want to thank you for fulfilling the role. You've done what I'm thinking I might be willing to do, but thank you for being willing to do that. I know it's a great public service and how we need our CCHD here.
Well, thank you for taking the time to attend the meeting and for thinking about running.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot of its rewards, too. I know when I was driving here this morning, I passed by what was clearly an emergency incident going on down at the Redwood Cafe, and our staff down there taking care of somebody, and it just made me proud. It just made me very, very proud of our team. So it is important work. So we have attached to the agenda today the minutes of June 28th. Does anybody have any corrections or revisions to the minutes of June 28th?
Move to accept.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. So we'll move into reports. Tim?
Yes, thank you. Did you have a comment?
No.
Well, in the normal Tim fashion of the reports, most of you, I'm sure, already read them, and I'm here to answer any questions, comments, complaints.
Just as a point of humor, should we pay attention to your first administrator's report or the second one in the package?
And that was meant as a humorous aside.
Okay.
Yes, pay attention to the second one, because the first one's never really right. I'm sure there's different
They're both the same, by the way.
Well, I apologize for that. I got educated on our software that we used to make the board packets, and it's been a challenge and a half. I'm going to try to have a conversation.
I just meant it as a point of humor, seriously.
Thank you. Question. No questions?
I am a little curious about new contract for, now that you're mentioning computer software, so we've entered into a new agreement, have we not, to get some IT support from...
Yes, from Cambridge Computing.
And what is the scope of services?
He is maintaining all the regular maintenance on the computers.
Mm-hmm.
Any repairs that need to be done to those, software updates, and items like that.
Mm-hmm.
He charges us a fee for however many hours he has to spend. There is no retainer, so he only charges us when he needs the services.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other companies that we looked at, they wanted, I think it was $150 a month just as a retainer.
Mm-hmm.
So we went with this gentleman. He's actually already replaced the month's computer in the office because we found out that it was on its last leg. The crew's computer is there. He has to come in and install that one because that one, too, is also failing. So I was in contact with Bill. We're upgrading both of those to Windows 11 because both of those are viable computers, are valuable computers that we need to be able to continue to do billing and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah. Is there do we have a continued gap in the IT area in terms of the service that we need?
We have a small gap right now, especially with like the website and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're
working on that.
Forging ahead, there's some hiccups, but we're making it work.
Excellent. Any other questions on Tim's operating report for the month of June? Iggy, did you have any questions?
Well, on the operations report, if that's what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I guess we have both kind of occurring at the same time.
Yes. Did you have a question on the operations report?
Well, your copies of page 16 of the board packet that 16 show CQL used, and I just, if there's anybody from the public that's looking at what was on the website, it's just the website's still missing the 6, so clearly, we didn't go at 126,000 people. So,
can you restate what he's saying, Tim? Because I'm not following.
So, on the fuel used for units, there's a typo on my part on the operations report.
But I think you gave that the right version, didn't you, Tim?
I should have.
So, it's.
If you look at the operations report on page, I believe it's 16.
Yeah.
The top is 16.
For unit 16?
Yeah, for unit 16.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I had a question about there were two separate delays in the month of June.
Mm-hmm.
That were related to bad directions to get someplace. And it gave me a little pause. I mean, first, I did not know that. Do our crew use iPhones to get directions to sites?
We switched from the iPhone because we were having a lot of problems with them with the updates. So for the iPhones, which is what, when Maureen was here, she wanted all the crew, she wanted iPhones in the rigs. The iPhones required the iCloud password to do updates, and they would actually lock the phones out if you didn't get them in time. They just wouldn't receive or do anything. So we switched to Samsung's. The problem that we have is we have MacBooks in the units, but because the younger generation is so reliant on phones, they follow the phone GPS to the call. And the GPS in the phone doesn't always take them the fastest way. So we've gone back to teaching them how to read a map.
So what we have in the ambulance is a physical map?
Yeah, we actually have physical maps of Cambria with how to get there, stuff like that. But the problem is the younger generation honestly doesn't know how to read a map. So they punch it in the phone. There's a link when the text comes over to go to Google Maps. But the problem is that Google Maps takes you whatever way it thinks is the best route at the time. And sometimes it gets confused with streets and stuff like that. So on one of the calls, it actually started taking them to streets, I think, in St. Simeon. And they realized they needed to be a street in Cambria. So they had to go back and redo stuff.
To have two calls and 1 month delayed for that is just sort of stands out to me. Any thoughts about?
I've counseled the crew because it's the same person twice.
Oh, I see.
So we've explained that you can't rely on the phone. You need to go off the maps that are in the units.
Yeah.
And make sure you know where you're going before you start driving.
Yeah.
Tim, do we know what the Cambria Fire Department uses?
They use regular straight maps. They also have a CAD system, which can map it in, but most of the drivers that operate the engines in Cambria have been here for many, many years, so they know the town like the back of their hand. So you take someone like Paul Butterfield, who's an EMT for us, he can deliver pizzas up here, he doesn't need a map. Take Dana, who doesn't live in Cambria and doesn't know that, she follows the maps because she doesn't know her way around.
So is this a part-time employee that's having difficulty? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just curious about the Lucas devices. Apparently we were going to try out something with County EMS, and now not. I don't know what a Lucas device is.
So a Lucas device is an external chest compression device for CPR, and the county was all for it. We had talked to Stryker. Stryker had the assumption that the county gave us the green light. We thought we had the green light from the county. They sent us the devices, and the county again said, you know what, no, pump the brakes, we've got to do this. In the process of doing that, they've also had employee turnover, so everything got shelved again. So this is the second time that we've tried it, the second time we've had devices, mechanical chest compression devices in our office, and not been able to use them.
So Tim, do you want to explain why we are unique and these would be a benefit to our crews?
Right, because we run, it would be a benefit for our crews because of the fact that we run up the coast and on real rural areas, and there's a strong possibility that it could be just the two of our employees who show up on a call.
Yeah.
And to tie both of them up doing compressions for a long period of time makes it harder for patient care. This alleviates one person's position. It does better chest compressions. It does allows for better chest recoil, and it's a proven device. The problem is that the EMSA still thinks that hands-on compression is the best way to go. The other thing is we don't transport if we're doing CPR. If we get ROSC, we transport the patient, but if that patient goes back into cardiac arrest while transporting, it's really hard to do CPR in the back of a moving ambulance. I've got multiple case studies where we've transported, and you can see how the quality of CPR is excellent on scene in a non-moving ambulance, and it drops by 50 to 60% in the back of a moving ambulance because you're basically hanging over a patient trying to get compressions as you're driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour or 80 miles an hour going through traffic and everything else. It's dangerous. This eliminates that danger.
Unfortunate. We can't give that a try.
So county fire is now on board with it, along with the Tascadero Fire and San Luis City Fire. So our hope is that with a bunch of the fire chiefs now pushing, we might get it green-lighted. But before the devices come back to us, we'll have a strategic plan in place, and there'll be multiple departments trying it.
Any other questions for Tim on either the administrator's report or the operations report? All right, well, hearing none, thank you very much, Tim. Appreciate it. We will move on to the committee reports. Under the President's report, yes, Iggy.
Wait, we don't do the financial analysis yet?
I apologize. You're right. We did the administrator operations review. Let's do the highlights on the financials. Okay, go back.
Got page 25, 26, 27 are all here at the financials, and I think it'd be worthwhile running through that.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, so
I personally would like to point something out, even though we have a deficit, but it's a self-induced deficit. Didn't have to be that way.
I understand, because I felt the same way when I saw a deficit for the end of the year, but we did.
But I want to explain what I mean by that.
So why don't you go ahead? Say 80?
80.
Tim, okay, go ahead.
It was, well, is that coming through?
Yes.
All right. Anyway, it was a decision made to take $40,000 mm-hmm. from the trust fund and set it aside for vehicle payments, future vehicle payments. And rather than make some adjustment to run it through the operating accounts on a cash basis and then leave it there for future use, it was
so Iggy, now we cannot hear you. I don't know if you're speaking or not.
There to start, I guess, the accrual basis accounting. But anyway, can I ask Bill to just go ahead and explain?
I'd be happy to.
Good.
We need to understand the difference between cash basis accounting, accrual based accounting, and cash flow. What we're looking at for year end, we have a deficit of $2,199. Okay. But we actually had a rather significant positive cash flow for the year. And that was a function of we transferred funds that we had received as donations to the trust, okay, into the healthcare district, and we didn't spend them. Okay? We made sure that those funds, when they were transferred, were not commingled with operating expenses. So while we're showing a slight deficit of $2,199, our cash flow for the year was very, very positive, okay? Which is a goal that we always want to have. And you will see that maybe a little clearer when we actually get to the budget and go through the budget and separate how cash is generated versus how cash is used.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
I also note that the miscellaneous spending, I am assuming that this is spending that has been related to our both the facility project and the bond measure, is that correct?
Yes,
yeah.
I believe so.
So I think that almost a break-even year, but yet an extra $12,000-$13,000 was we were able to invest in the future facility and some of those expenses. Mm-hmm. So, no, I think that would love to just see the positive number, but I think we did very well for the year, and I congratulate both the team as well as Bill for all the help that you've given us to get our financial reporting. Are we now moving to accrual starting in July?
Correct.
So this will be a big change for what the board is used to seeing and thinking about, because it's, I mean, I think, I'm looking around, I think the people here understand the difference, but it will reflect differently on our financials for sure. So very, very positive to move in that direction so that we won't have these month-to-month things where you see some strange blip just because a bill was either not received or two happened to be paid in the same month. And I think it'll allow us to have better reporting. Okay. Any other questions on the financial savings? I would also note, Tim, I was reflecting on this. I think they said ambulance income is $7,422 under budget, and then we say this is a reflection of increased call volume. I think that if it was under budget, it looks to me as though it was a payer mix issue. Rather than being under budget. Alrighty, let's move ahead then under President's Report. One item that I want to bring to the attention of the board and get some of your feedback on. Iggy received a communication from, Iggy, help me out, what's her name?
Udevin.
Yes, Beth Udevin.
Okay.
Who is leading or a big part of the organization that is interested in, on a fundraising basis, developing a swimming pool at the high school site. So I think this is a new initiative relative to the old pool project idea. And it is, as I understand it, a project that would be developed exclusively through fundraising and most definitely for the benefit of both the community at large as well as the kids in our schools. The request that was made was whether the Cambria Community Healthcare District would consider taking a formal action to support the development of the swimming pool, and I wanted to get your feedback about that.
Well, it is all through private fundraising, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah. And I would, as a health professional, I would say I support it as it provides an opportunity for people to be physically active and provides a venue for kids to do recreation type things. So I don't know that there's a downside in us supporting it.
I would agree. I think any activity that promotes health, exercise, et cetera, that's somewhat inherent in our mission to support those types of activities.
Yeah, I think it's consistent with our support of the skate park initiative, for example, to see kids out. So is anybody aware of any opposition to this particular effort?
How does this differ from the other?
Well, I think there's a site issue. I think that the old project involved the pool over at Shamel Park, if I'm understanding. But do you know what the opposition is to that?
No, it's the common opposition here in Cambria. Any water use.
Change? Oh, water use. Water. Oh, water, that topic.
Oh, okay.
You have to fill it.
Whether it's valid or not, there are a lot of people who are really...
But
that's a hot
school. The school has its own source of water. They don't draw on any camera.
Water that, okay.
From a public perception, I'm just as the only member of the public here today. There are just people out there in the public who this.
Of course,
this is a hot button issue.
Okay.
And whether the facts support it or not, it's just the way it is. We're in Cambria, so that's my 2 cents.
Thank you for that, because I could see that. It's that there, I could see the water people coming out. But I'm inclined to want to support the initiative. Water is a funny thing. We are out of water on our property, which is interesting. We have seven 3,600-gallon tanker trucks arriving at our house twice a week right now to deliver water for the trees. So, but it is, you know, it's a bigger problem. And I think that foregoing a filling up a swimming pool that could benefit so many in our community, I on balance, I would like to see the pool.
Okay. Do we need a motion or something, or is it just?
No, this wasn't an agenda item. It was just to get a sense from the board.
Mm-hmm. Some feedback.
Do we have a resolution next month, then?
Yeah, I think what I would suggest is, Iggy, you and I work together to develop a letter of support, and you want to bring it back to the board at that time? Okay. That's what we'll do. No?
I don't think there's time.
Oh, okay.
They need to have a letter before the 13th of August.
Of August?
Okay.
So when I get, yeah, before the 13th, because that's when the school board meets.
I see.
So we can work on it when, like,
so could we do a Zoom meeting then to approve it,
or could we?
Are we allowed to do email approvals?
I'm not sure.
You just have to. You can do email. It's just that you don't cross pollinate. You have to
send them out individually.
Email or
okay.
Email. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. All right. We'll figure out a way to meet their deadline that way then. All right. Property and facilities.
All right.
Lori?
We did not meet, but Don Sather is working to get a meeting with the county so that they can review the necessary building codes for the project should it proceed, so that we can anticipate and make any changes as needed to the floor plan. And I'm happy to say that the facility project video is final and approved. Yay.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And Tim and I showed it to Rotary Club a couple weeks ago. It was well received, and we had a lot of good questions.
Good.
And support, I think. And we're moving forward with that. And I don't know if the bond measure should be part of this, or
I think to the extent that it's not elsewhere, I would like to hear an update about the bond.
So after a little bit of hand-wringing this past Thursday, the county did say that compliment Tim on his thoroughness in submitting the proper paperwork, and it is now posted and will be on the ballot in November.
Good. Excellent. I saw the...
We are measured G22.
G22? Okay.
So you go yes on G22? Is that what the guy... I saw correspondence from the county indicating that they're taking now, what are they called? The letters
rebuttals.
Of the letters for and against,
yes,
the measure. How do those come about? Do they just happen? Do they?
Well, they've got it posted publicly. Mm-hmm. Did they put it in the newspaper?
Yes, it was,
yeah,
on the Telegram Tribune. It's posted,
yeah,
at the,
yeah,
and at the district office on the board of health.
Yeah.
Both places that it'll be widely read for sure.
Yes.
And I believe the letters are sent directly to them, and they will post it when it comes in as a matter of public record.
I guess what I was wondering is,
yeah,
do those letters just happen naturally, or are they typically solicited by somebody? Or, I mean, yeah, I just don't know how it works.
You guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
So I read over the documentation, and basically, if there are multiple letters for or multiple letters against, the county chooses which one to use. Now, Tim submitted with his package, I think he did anyway, Tim, the letter 4 that was signed by 5 community members within our district. And I know if there are any other letters 4 that will be submitted.
I see.
Was, I think, distributed to all of them. And they have until, I believe it's the 12th of
August.
Yes,
yeah.
August.
That's when it closes. So.
Yeah, okay. And it has to, and it has to identify who.
Well, Iggy, we're having a hard time hearing you. Yeah, we can't hear you.
Okay.
Submitting it on behalf of what mortgage submitted.
Okay. Very good. Okay, yeah, I think we caught that.
Yeah.
So we just wait and see.
And then we have the opportunity to rebut.
To rebut any opposition letters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's exciting. We're off to the races.
We are.
Very exciting, actually. Okay, healthcare advocacy, Diane?
Yeah, we did meet. We discussed, we put the farmer's market on the August calendar, like twice in August. We discussed setting up a new vaccination event once the new one is out. As people are kind of rolling into maybe a possible second booster, or maybe those who haven't yet been boosted.
Mm-hmm.
And along the lines of doing that, have it at the CHC site, our site. Sorry. And then offer up a mini health fair at the same time. So not just people coming in and out and getting their vaccine, but offering them some more information about various levels of health related subjects.
I think that's terrific.
CPR, nutrition, all those important things. Also, we talked about a hybrid fall prevention program that we've been discussing for the last couple months, just narrowing down the subject matter and timing of it. We also talked, well, Tim shared that he's got the Stop the Bleed program kind of all squared away with getting training done. And he's got someone, an employee, that's going to head that out. Three?
Three employees that volunteered yesterday to help do it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So that's
great.
And, of course, we talked about the Pioneer Auto coming up. And he's got the party in for the parade. Well,
we're going to have a float?
Well.
Do we get to dress up?
That would actually be fun, yes. Do you want to be our patient?
Put you in a straitjacket. Plenty of times people have wanted me to put me in a straitjacket, but yeah, sure. That's a lot of fun. It'll be fun to have Pandorado again.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
And last week we talked, collaborated a little bit about the website. That's
And I think we have a separate item on that.
Oh, good. That's about it.
Excellent. Thank you, Diane. Those are all really fun things that are going on. And Bill, finance.
The finance committee did meet here in the last month, and we reviewed the budget, and we'll discuss that as a later item in the agenda. We also have been looking for the director of finance position, someone to fill that. We've had a couple of resumes that didn't pan out for one reason or another, but we do have an interview this Friday in the afternoon of a candidate that at least on paper looks ideal, so we'll keep you updated on what's going on there.
Yeah. Hopefully that will get resolved soon. And the Grants Committee, Lori.
So we did meet, and currently AU is going to put in a request to the Cambria Community Council for matching funds to our foundation to help support the purchase of the new ambulance that's on order. We are working to get Tim put on as the administrator with SAM.gov, which is what we have to do before we can have our FEMA funds released for the power cuts. And still working on that, correct him? we'll get that done.
I was on the call with them for almost 35 minutes yesterday before they hung up on me.
Yeah.
When they couldn't get back on the
Yeah, so we'll keep working. supports that. And then the Assistance to Firefighter grant, their notice of funding opportunity should come out in September, and we'll plan on submitting submitting depending on whether or not we receive funding for our more recent submissions. So that's kind of where we're at with that.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
A proposal to the Cambria Community Council, grant proposal to the Cambria Community Council has been submitted.
Yes.
And when would we expect to hear back on that?
Well, we'll have to stand by for a meeting, defend it on the 23rd of August, I believe, so that probably would be Tim and yourself, Cecilia, since you are the trustee of the Cambria Community Healthcare District Trust. Mm-hmm. And then we would hear by September 1st.
Oh, terrific, right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, we're now moving to the regular business agenda. And the first order of business is a item related to a change in the Cambria Community Healthcare District logo. Lori?
Okay, so this came about as we were working towards the new website design. And at present, the healthcare district uses two distinct logos. One is the one that's on the letterhead. It's the green square with the different little symbols in it. And then the other is an emblem, a professional-looking emblem that says Cambria Community Healthcare District Ambulance Service, and then has some nice artwork on it as well. Our opinion is that we should go with just one, and that we should retire the greenish, I don't know how to describe it.
But that triangle thing is what you're talking about, right?
There's some incorrect. There's some problems with it, and it's it really doesn't convey the healthcare district too well, or you know, really what our mission is. And we believe that the emblem is much more professional looking and is more of industry standard when it comes to emergency services. So we would like to just use that.
That fits.
Yes.
And there's an image that was provided. There should be minimal cost. What we'll do is just phase out the old logo, and it's any of the letterhead and stuff is just generated by computer, so we can just replace it on letterhead. And then with uniforms and stuff, as uniforms are replaced, we'll just eliminate the old one.
We need a motion to do this.
And I suggested that. Well, can I add? Can you guys hear me?
Can
you hear?
We can for the moment.
Yeah.
So I suggested to Tim that he have a whole bunch of stickers printed up so you wouldn't have to replace existing envelopes and just use the stickers to cover over the other emblem on envelopes.
Okay.
Should be minimal cost.
Or you could just use them up.
Right.
Yeah.
Just use them up.
Yeah. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the change in the logo?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. And is this the point where we're supposed to take input from the general public? Is there any input from the public on this agenda? You like the new one?
Yeah.
All right, any further board discussion on this item? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Thank you. All righty, we shall move on to our fiscal year budget for the coming year, which is I'm sure a meaty topic. The budget is in draft form being handed around. Lori, you have one, correct?
I have one.
And I think it is Bill's intention to present this to us.
Iggy, and I'm sorry that I did not know that you were going to be remote today. And so you obviously do not have a copy, but you can listen to the comments, and when you do get a copy, I'll send it to you. You can contact me with any comments you may have about it, questions. What you have in front of you is the budget, proposed budget for fiscal 2022-2023. And this is a year that we will be converting to accrual-based accounting. So the budget looks different, and I'd like to go through it and tell you what's in the budget so that you understand it. The first item is ambulance income. And the item that, the activity that produces ambulance income is ambulance transports. Okay. And for the last fiscal year, most recent fiscal year, we had 607 ambulance transports. So the question was, what should we do for the next fiscal year? Going back, we need to understand that the last 2 years have not been normal years. Surprise, surprise. Besides COVID and the impact it had on everyone, including Cambria, we also had the closure of the Hearst Castle for a long period of time. Hearst Castle brings tourists into the area. We do, in fact, transport a number of tourists each year because they have automobile accidents and cardiac arrests, etc. We also had Highway 1 closed and opened and closed and opened, and even now they're doing some additional work, and there's going to be some minor stoppages. To be conservative, for the next fiscal year, I increased the number of projected transports by only 5%. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that is conservative. I think that we will be doing more than that. But let's be conservative, and if we exceed that, let's pick it up when it happens and not plan for it and not see it. Okay. Well, 636 ambulance transports generates a billed amount of $3,357,000. Okay. And that's using the billed amount that we used, experienced per transport for the last fiscal year. We projected no increase in that, although we'll talk about that mm-hmm. in a little bit, nor have we anticipated any change in the mix of those who we transport. More than 50% of the folks that we transport are unfortunately on Medicare. Mm-hmm. Medicare's reimbursement to us is in the $700 to $800 range. Another 5%+ is Medi-Cal, and Medi-Cal pays even less than Medicare. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the remainder are, if you will, traditional insurance and self-pay. And self-pay is a mixed bag of people that have absolutely no insurance, so they would be billed a full amount. But the majority of it is deductibles that after Medicare does not pay 100% of the bill, they pay 80% of the bill. And if you don't have a Medicare sub plan, okay, you get billed as a self-pay for the difference. The insurance companies, it's a mixed bag of what they pay. The best payer is Kaiser. Kaiser pays substantially all of the billed amount. The rest of the insurance companies pay something called reasonable and customary, which is more than Medicare, but less than the full amount. So we assume the same mix in the next fiscal year that we had in the prior fiscal year. And again, that generates $3,357,000 worth of billed charges. Well, as I said, that nobody pays a full amount of the bill. And we did some analysis of the last two fiscal years, the two fiscal years that we were on the new billing system. And in fiscal year 2021, we collected 23.1% of the bill charges. Okay. The most recent fiscal year, 21-22, we improved on that. We collected 28.4% of bill charges. So the question is, what should we use? Okay. And what I did is I averaged the two amounts for the last 2 years to be conservative, and it's at 25.75% that we're assuming we are going to collect on our bill charges. So you'll see the negative amount. While the billed amount is $3,357,000, the negative amount is $2,493,000. That is, in essence, at the end of the day, the amount of the bill charges we're not going to collect. Historically, we have just used the net amount for ambulance revenue. Mm-hmm. Why are we looking at $3,357,000 as the billed amount? If you will remember going back to the last two independent outside audits we had, in their management letter comments, they said, Health District, you are not reconciling your outstanding accounts receivable to your general ledger. And they were right, because on a cash basis accounting, everything is net, 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 where your outstanding accounts receivable is at the billed amount. So what we'll be doing is we'll be recording in the general ledger, in the accounts receivable, the gross amount. That will allow us each and every month to reconcile to the outstanding listing of accounts receivable from the ambulance billing system to the general ledger. But under accounting rules, you need to reflect in your general ledger the net realizable value of the goods and services you provide, in our case, ambulance transports. So we will have a separate account that is a contra or negative account, which will reduce the billed amount down to that 25.75%. It's different, but it corrects a situation with our outside auditors, who are correct, but allows us each and every month to understand what we're getting. Our revenue cycle, and I'm defining the revenue cycle as when we bill something, how long on average does it take us to actually receive that money? And our billing cycle is generally 90 days. After 90 days, we still pursue outstanding receivables, okay, but the payment drops off. That we get 95% of what we're going to ever get, usually in 90 days. That what goes on after 90 days in terms of billing tends to be rebilling, and it's the self-pay, it's the deductibles that we have to, once we get the payment from Medicare or whoever, we then go out to self-pay to collect the deductibles. Now, does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
I do have one question. If we're pausing on ambulance revenue,
sure.
Then, I was just looking at the what I think the math is relative to the year we just finished out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're increasing from 607 to 636, so about a 5% increase in transports.
Right.
And but it looks like proportionately that the increase in ambulance income net ambulance is much more than that. So I'm comparing the 892,623 to, if I'm doing this correctly, I should compare that to the 738,100 on the green bar. And that the 17% increase in revenue compared to 5% on transports.
Right. There has been some growth over the last fiscal year in terms of net amount that we are receiving for the billed amount. Okay? We do, in fact, on average, where our billed amount is in the neighborhood of $5,300, give or take mileage and things that change, we collect on average about $1,275 for those. And that, in the budget, is a slight increase, okay, of about $59. Mm-hmm. And when you do that for 600 and...
You're getting a proportional bump. Does the... I'm just trying to think about this now. Does the move to accrual pick up... Do you pick up 30 days additional revenue, or, you know, whatever your billing lag is? Let's say you have a 45-day claim cycle. If you're going to accrual, do you all of a sudden pick up 45 days income because you're booking it at the time it's billed instead of received?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I think I'm seeing in here. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, going down the budget, we do, in fact, have some bad debts. Okay, some of which we send to collections, some are just truly bad debts that we write off. And I estimated both of those items based on our run rate for the prior year. Okay. So our net projected ambulance income is going to be $892,000 for the year. Going down, the next two biggest items of income are the taxes, the general tax. General tax, I'm projecting at $600,453, and that is a straight 2% increase year over year. Okay, that's what you see generally in your property tax under Prop 13. They're allowed to increase, but not to exceed 2%, and we have historically been getting a 2% bump each year in the general tax. Special tax is based on the increase in the CPI for the statistical district that Cambria is in, which is the Los Angeles district. And if you remember, last month or the month before, we approved sending to the county because the CPI had increased 8%, 8.1%. And we actually have to increase, we have a listing of some 4,500 lots, both improved and unimproved, and we had to increase mechanically ourselves each of those types of properties by 8% and then report it to the county, which we did, and the total of that listing is $631,555. So that ties to the listing there. But that's an 8% increase. And that's a good thing for us. So that gives us both ambulance income and tax income for the year projected $1,232,000. Then to that we add the Monterey contract. We have had much more activity in Monterey County in the last year. We've had on average about 2 a month. So what I projected for the next fiscal year is also 2 a month. So that's the $3,000 you get each month. Rental income is very small. It's $300 a quarter. This is the rental that the Lollapberry Inn pays us. They rent a couple of our spaces across the street, used primarily on weekends. Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
Now, if the bond issue passes, and depending on when construction and stuff happens, we may have to go to them and say that these spaces are unavailable, and they would be unavailable for a 2-year period, maybe, whatever it turns out to be. But if we lose that income, it's $300 a quarter. $300 a quarter has never put us over the top, nor is it going to put us under the water. bad debt recovery and miscellaneous income projected based just on our run rate for the current fiscal year. We do get some interest income. This is our funds that are invested at LAFCO, and I projected the same amount for next year that we did this year. It's a minor amount. It's not a big amount. The last item of income is donations, and I'm projecting $30,000 worth of donations this year. And these are donations that would come from the trust. And I projected here that we would go through the same exercise this year that we did last year, that at year-end we would generate some sort of letter seeking donations for whatever the board at that time looks for. Last year we received over $40,000. This year I put $30,000 in to be conservative. I struggled a little bit on these numbers because if the bond issue passes, it's a November item.
Mm-hmm. And you go right after that and ask for money.
Bingo.
Yeah. Right. For something else, though. It's totally different.
But if it doesn't pass, you would.
Yeah.
Theoretically. So it's in there.
I
think it's a conservative amount.
Yeah.
And it can move a month or two later or whatever. But I did want to let you know that we did put some revenue from the trust based on donations to the trust for the fiscal year. That's revenue.
Not to skip ahead, but did you budget to take it then into a reserve?
Yes.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going down into payroll expenses. Payroll expenses are admin, full-time, part-time.
Can we pause just one more time? So I'm trying to... track to the green bar just to see, and so if I look at this, I say, and again, this is probably that 45-day thing, right?
Okay.
So because I'm seeing a total for next fiscal year of 2204, I see a total of about 22 this year, 2288, and the reason that this isn't higher is the 45 days.
Yep.
Okay.
Going down into salaries.
No, wait.
What?
That would do the reverse.
The problem you have here is you've got prior year's revenue flowing through. Because when you look at July and August, most
your
of
revenue from. Oh, I see. I see. Okay.
Payroll?
I'm ready.
Okay. Payroll looks a little bit different this year because we had a mix in the last year of the administrator left in March or April, May. Tim was down in full-time for substantially all of the year, and we didn't have a director of finance, so this is correcting them. You will see in the admin, this represents Simone, director of finance, and Tim, and it reduces, it's different in the month of July. The first month is I did not budget for the finance director.
Yeah.
Okay. I budgeted for the finance director in August, and if it slides another month, that's a pickup in terms of the budget. Going into full-time and part-time, Tim has done a lot of work, and I know he's not finished, looking at savings of two 24-hour bars versus 124 and 112. He's done a lot of analysis, and in the Finance Committee, we looked at the analysis, we talked about it, and we selected 2 months, which were April and May, that were the most representative of having two 24-hour ambulances. We used those as the basis for our projection. And what you're seeing here are salaries for full-time and part-time based on two 24-hour ambulances. Should at some point after the analysis is completed and reviewed, a different decision is made, okay, these numbers may change. The rest in this area tends to be payroll taxes. That's the 3% that we have to pay. The employee medical and dental, that's based on last year's. PERS. PERS has been averaging, when we looked at it, 24% of payroll. And last year, Mike opened an account called Unfunded Accrued Liability. Part of the 24% that we pay each month to PERS is a current portion of individual employees' retirement, but we're paying for this large unfunded liability, and the amount of the unfunded liability, the mix changes each year. What I did is I continued using the number that Mike used, which was the $12,360 a month, and then I put the remainder on the PERS pension expense to get us, when you combine those two, to the 24%. Mm-hmm. So we're there. Uniforms based on run rate, workers' comp, we get that quote directly from the workers' comp insurance carrier. We'll see a similar thing when we get down to liability insurance. Normally, they would want us to pay that entire amount at the start of the year in the month of July, but that's a big drain on our cash flow. So several years ago, we went back to the insurance carrier and said, can we pay this out over kind of a six-month period? Okay, help us with the cash flow. And they said, fine, it's going to cost you a little bit of interest. And we said, okay, we understand that. So these are the payments. We've asked them for a payment schedule for the current year, and this is what they have given us. And then the retirement health is what, based on run rate. But that's page one. Page two is contracted services. Here we have the accounting. This is Sherrington, our outside accounting service. We have the audit fees for the outside auditor. We have have to pay our billing service, the ambulance billing service, for their software. There's a cost each month. In the other billing, we pay Bill Avery $800 a month, but we did put money in there for the redo of the website. Okay, we got a quote, and we projected that would be September. Mm-hmm. Okay, could it be August? Could it be whatever? And then there's a monthly maintenance fee for that of $50. So we did include that in here. And then our outside payroll service costs us $500 a month to get that done. Down in the next category, education, travel and mileage, $500 a month. Facilities, repair and maintenance. This was a tough one to figure out. We believe that $18,000 for the year may be the right number. It'll probably be the right number if the bond issue passes. Mm-hmm. If the bond issue does not pass, clearly in the mid-year revision, this line item needs to be revisited and probably revised. Legal expenses based on prior years. Liability and auto insurance, this is the same as workers' comp. Okay, they would like us to pay it in July, and we've asked them for payment schedule, and that came directly from them. Licensing and permits, $500 a month. Office computer and supply, we're projecting $14,400 for the year. This is something that may change also with the bond issue. I know the bond issue has furniture and some things in there.
Yes.
And if the bond issue passes, you kind of put scotch tape and paper clips on things that are broken until you get the new building type of thing. But if it doesn't pass, there's probably some things that need to be replaced. Storage expense, we have a storage locker down in Tin City. Training was minor, and utilities based on our run rate. Going down to fleet vehicle and expenses, we're projecting $3,000 a month for fuel. Understand that fuel costs are starting to come down. How far down they will come, no one knows. If something happens in the economy and it goes back up, we'll have to deal with it then. We projected some repairs and maintenance for individual units, and that's that category. Interest expense, we've had some interest expense in the past. We probably didn't handle it consistently well throughout the year. I just put in what we spent last year, and it's a relatively minor amount. And medical equipment and supplies, you know, we put $60,000 in, $5,000 a month. This is one of those line items that gives Tim heartburn, because every time he goes out to buy additional replacement medical supplies, you know, they're costing double than they were, etc. But Tim has looked at this number, and why it causes him some heartburn, he thinks he can live with it for the year.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I have a question on utilities. Did you take into account that we now have to pay utilities for the entire facility?
Yes.
CHC doesn't pay anything?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Good, thanks.
Okay, other expenses, they're relatively minor, with the exception of miscellaneous income, a miscellaneous expense in the month of February, I think I put it in. You can see the $100 a month goes to $12,000 a month.
A little bump.
Okay, that is the projected cost for paying for the election. Okay, Tim went to the county and said, you know, we have election, we have a bond issue, et cetera, et cetera. Give us an estimate of the cost, and they said $12,000.
So that is the incremental cost of adding something to a ballot?
No, it's the entire ballot, because you only pay this every other year when you have an election. I think the last payment was in the neighborhood of $8,000 or $9,000.
It's so that the district can be included in the county elections versus us having to set it up and do it all ourselves. So we have to pay a portion of the fees, the cost for the county to run the election for us.
And actually, I think $12,000.
It's a bargain.
It's a bargain.
My new little district up in Watsonville, the county of Santa Cruz wants to charge them $500,000 to add it to the ballot.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm not sure
where they're getting their
the
number.
The county has thought through the fact that it's not at large this time.
Yes.
It's by district.
By those districts,
okay.
Yeah.
And God knows how they're going to do that.
They're not sure either, because I submitted my paperwork on Friday, and they were just, we're the least of their worries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. My goodness. Okay.
And it's the same thing that the service district is having and mm-hmm. the school board, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Particularly where all of these boundaries are all drawn differently, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, when we put it all together, okay, at the bottom of page 2, we are going to generate $105,000 of cash. But, wait, he said.
There's more.
If you go to page 3, because this is accrual-based accounting and you don't record in your operating budget your debt payments because it's a liability and it's really just cash paying that debt.
Okay.
Okay. So we've generated $105,000 of cash. So where is it going? Let's look at the cash flows. Where will it be used? We have one last payment on Unit 18, and that's going to be paid in August. Okay. We have quarterly payments for Unit 20, and you can see those at $6,000, $5,000 a month, $6,000, $5,000. My vision is not that good. Okay. Then we have the new ambulance, the one that's on order. Okay. The one we ordered 12 months ago. 14 months ago. Okay, this ambulance will cost us $208,000 in round numbers. And what I've included here, the question is, when are we going to receive this ambulance? Mm-hmm. Kim, here in the last week, contacted
Demeters.
And their best guess is in February. So I projected, we went out and asked for financing on this vehicle. We looked at two options. One is financing the entire amount, and the other was financing the entire amount less the $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
To be conservative here, we put numbers in to finance the entire amount. So it's round numbers, $12,000 a quarter for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Next item that we'll use cash. Yes? Hello?
When I asked what the quarterly so this is a 50% increase.
I'm sorry, did he say
you were cutting out?
Cambria Community Council. I told them our quarterly payments be 8,000, not 12,000. We still have an opportunity in the next day or two to change that grant proposal. But if this is a real number, 12,000, I need to tell them that.
Iggy, it's a real number.
If you finance the entire thing.
If you finance 100% of the ambulance, the board has an option.
So you have the $40,000 on reserve already, and then we have another grant proposal pending.
Correct.
So, well, how much did you ask for from the council, Iggy? Does anybody know?
I think it's
$6,100. And I told them, based on what I was told by district personnel, that it was a quarterly payment of $8,000.
So, did you ask for $32,000 then?
So we made $36,000.
$36,000.
The thing is I think that'll only cover three payments instead of covering.
Well, I think it's the 100% issue, Iggy. It's that if we took the money that is on reserve, in addition to the council grant, and we only financed what was left, this number would be considerably lower.
Right.
And so that's just your trade-off about whether or not you actually want to arbitrage the financing. If the cost of financing are too high, you wouldn't do that, I would imagine.
Right.
If the cost of financing are quite low or reasonable, then you would do that. So I don't think your statement to them was inaccurate. It depends on how much we choose to pay in cash.
Correct.
And we will have the cash to make that choice.
Well, I didn't get into that amount of detail.
Yeah.
I didn't get into that amount of detail, but I would like emailed to me here the quote that supports $12,000 a quarter. And I will forward that to Suzanne Kennedy so they have that information. What I'm afraid of is they won't give us $36,000. If we tell them the quarterly payment is $12,000, maybe that will support them more fully funding what we've asked for.
We have the quote.
Yeah, we're looking at the quote right here.
The actual quote was $11,700.
Okay.
And I
really and the implied rate there was 5.25.
Okay.
So it's probably break-even money, to be honest. Just depends on if you want to use your cash.
And the issue is you don't know what the rate's going to be in February.
You don't. Not if rates are going up. So this is a fixed quote at 5.25.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Tim, could you? Okay. Iggy, Tim will send this to you. Going down uses of cash, we were fortunate to get a grant approved, Lori, a year ago plus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we had to do some matching funds to that.
Yes.
Okay. And the $18,500 is the amount projected to be the matching funds that Tim had given to me. And I put that in August because I understand that that's kind of getting finalized and stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We think.
We're hopeful.
The parks are in LA, so yes, everything will be done in August.
Okay.
Provided I get the government to release the funds to us.
Well, the funds are there for our matching piece.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the last piece of the Zoll monitors that we're paying off over, I think, a 5-year period and some monthly charge of $2,091. That gives us a negative cash flow at this point of $95,715, but we're generating $105,000. So in round numbers,
some sort of miracle has occurred again.
There's a positive $10,000
cash flow
benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now here's all the caveats. God knows what's going to happen with the bond issue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If it passes, good news. If it passes, there's expenses that we can recoup.
Right.
Okay? So that's a positive cash flow to us. That's not in here. Okay. If it doesn't pass, there's probably some additional expenses in terms of the facility that we're gonna have to do. We put dollars in here for the new ambulance. What financing is going to look like in February? God knows. Okay, what the feds are going to do for the next couple of months of raising interest rates, that's going to impact us there. Contributions. Okay, we got 40 plus thousand last year in the budget. We've got 30,000. Is that the right number? We won't know until we get there. But I think we've got a budget that is reasonable, it's conservative, we have a little bit of a cushion in there, we can have as much discussion as you want about any individual line item, but that's the budget.
I guess the only thing I'm not understanding, I'm going back to the treatment of this $30,000 that comes through as income. But it seems to me that there...
I wanted it to go down to page 3.
You wanted it sitting here to offset that. So that's what I was trying to think about, because it then does actually inherently cover what you're saying it covers. It's just recording it. Yep, all right. I am there. Any questions? Discussion?
I have one there. On page 3, unit 21, which is, I think that should be 22.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yes.
So we'll make that change.
So clearly the largest question.
Is there any contribution contemplated for the local agency investment?
One more time.
Did you hear my question?
No.
Try one more time, Iggy.
Is there any contribution? Is there any contribution contemplated?
For the late.
No, but if the decision is made to increase the amount of funds in that account, that from a cash basis is a sum zero game. It goes from one bank account in essence to another bank account, so it doesn't change total cash.
Diane, you were making a comment.
Oh, it was just the unknown. The biggest unknown is the facility. Mm-hmm. If the bond measure doesn't pass, we would expect that category to go up a bit. When does a temporary permit expire? What are we gonna?
We have until January of 2024.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that's still mean.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But at least we have them there.
Yeah.
So you're looking for approval?
The finance committee is looking.
The finance committee is looking. The chair is looking. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve the fiscal year 2022-2023 budget presented.
Second.
Any comments from the public?
Looks good, thank you.
Is there any public?
Yeah.
Well, we have public in person. Do we have any public online? We don't have public online, do we?
No.
Okay, is there any further discussion from the board?
Just thank you for doing such a wonderful job on this.
Really appreciate all your hard work on this.
Yes.
Very thoughtful. Very, very thoughtful. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I'm not opposed. I had a question.
Aye.
No. Question.
I that's great work, Bill. I really, really appreciate it. You keep mentioning the finance committee. I'm curious. Do you have help? Who's on the finance committee?
Diane is with you.
Thank you.
Honestly, it doesn't
hurt.
Well,
is it something on standing committees that somebody from outside of the board could be brought in to sit on a committee?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Most definitely.
Okay, because my son who lives here in town is a CPA, and I'm probably get him some work.
Most definitely. Yes. But as you can see, we don't have a large turnout.
We have plenty of chairs, though.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We have one additional item on the regular business agenda today, and that is the review and approval of updated bylaws for the organization, which were attached to your agenda packet. Iggy, if you want to lead a discussion, if you can, if we can hear you.
Well, if you all
calling.
I think Tim is calling you, so maybe we'll put you on speakerphone for this. Is that all right?
Well, I have to get my phone.
Okay, go get your phone. Go get your phone.
It's funny that he cuts out when we get it first.
I mean, the backdrop of this, this primarily was a change to bylaws that related to our reorganization of mm-hmm. positions, correct? Mm-hmm. And, Iggy, we can hear you a lot better now, so why don't you proceed?
Okay. Basically, what I did, I went through the entire set of bylaws, took into account the change in our structure. So we now have a director of finance reporting to the board, and we have a director of operations reporting to the board. So I put in the duties and responsibilities of each of those directors. I shared those with you, along with the impact that it had on the various portions of the bylaws. And that's essentially what I changed. Now, I requested input on whether the director of finance was going to be
exempt
or non-exempt position. No. I never got any feedback, so I left it as exempt.
Well, it turns out you are correct. At the last finance committee meeting, we discussed it, and it is designated as an exempt position.
Okay, great. And I had already coordinated with Bill Avery if that was possible with a part-time position, and he said absolutely. Okay, so that's essentially what I did. I've shared all these changes with you before, and if you have any changes that you'd like made beyond what I've given, then I guess you would talk about that now, but I'm not in a position to make those changes. How can I put it? Well, I do have the changes, and yeah, they're on my iPad that I'm using to communicate with you. So the easiest, if you have any changes to make other than what I've given you, easiest way would be for Simone or Tim to email those changes to me, and then I would update the bylaws with those changes.
Does anybody have any comments on the bylaws or any concerns?
I don't.
Mm-hmm. My next step would be, if you all approve of this, is to actually go into the bylaws and make all these changes, because I have not done that.
Okay, so this is a standalone document right now.
The completed bylaws would then be presented at the next board meeting.
Okay. This is a really minor change. There's just something about section 14.1 where it says members of the board of directors shall deal with the staff. I was wondering if we could say shall address issues concerning staff. I don't know what it is with saying deal with, but it just sounds a little... I'll deal with you. I'll deal with you later. Yeah, no, so it shall address issues concerning staff.
Only to the district director?
Yes.
And how do you want it to say something different?
Yeah, just that the board of directors and its members shall address issues concerning staff and services. And everything would stay the same, only through the director. I just say, deal with, just rubs me the wrong way a little bit.
And Tim can...
address issues with the staff.
Concerning staff and services of the Cambria Community Healthcare District, only through the director.
Okay. Yeah. So instead of shall deal with, it'll say shall address issues with the staff and services of the Cambria Community Healthcare District.
Yes, right.
Only through the District Director of Operations or Finance.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you don't have to send me anything on that.
Okay, you got it? Right. I don't have any other changes, and I appreciate your taking the time to do this. Are you looking for a motion from us, or are you going to do this at the next meeting?
Say that last part again.
Are you looking for the board to take action on this, or
yes,
are you...
I would ask you to approve it with that one change.
Okay.
And then I will simply, for information purposes, at the next board meeting in August, you will be furnished a copy. As part of the board packet, you'll have a whole set of new bylaws with the changes in there.
Yay. Okay. Is there a motion?
Move to accept with the changes so noted.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Wait. Any comment from the public?
It's good.
Any further comment from the board? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The motion carries. Alrighty. That brings us to the end of our regular business agenda. Like as we do to have a discussion of future agenda items for the August meeting.
I would like to put some standing item, which is, depending on how you want to word it, update on bond issue. Just we have a discussion to make sure everything continues to go.
I noted that we received notice this week that from this point forward, in an indefinite period of time, that we will no longer have the legal services of Jeff Minerty. He's taken leave. I don't know if... did you receive that?
I did.
To do which?
Jeff has...
Has
left for an indefinite leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know if the board wanted to consider any change in...
Legal counsel?
Now, did Jeff designate a go-to person in his firm if we have legal questions? I think he would have said.
Tim, when we received the email concerning Jeff's leave of absence, were we given an alternative contact?
Yes, as a system is taking over his cases at this time. So we still have legal counsel, although she's trying to take on stuff she was normally dealing with plus Jeff's stuff. I can reach out to her and find out if we have a set of attorney will be assigned to us if you'd like. And we can go forward from there.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll definitely want to get a status report on what is the situation there. I also noted that we were scheduled to have a review of the staffing of the 24-hour car, and I understand that our data, we need longer periods of data to really understand. Is there a projected time that you'd like to review? The 24-hour car?
Probably want to go through September, so it'd be October.
Okay, so not next month. Okay.
But the website redesign should be available for
everyone. Okay, the website?
Next month.
Great.
And I may have a new scheduling software to present. I've already demoed one yesterday. It was through a payroll company, and it wasn't what we need. Let's just say that. So.
Okay.
What about the audit?
The audit?
Yeah, put the audit on that. Hopefully it'll be done by then.
Okay. And then fuel surcharge for Monterey County calls?
Yes, I've been looking at that. With the fuel costs coming down, it may be hard for us to get that to actually pass through Monterey County. But we are looking at redoing our rates in September, which would include redoing the contract for Monterey County.
Well, how about instead of fuel surcharge, review the contract for Monterey County and see if it still is set at an appropriate level or it needs to be changed. I presume you heard that.
Yes, I got it.
Okay.
Because
I think Tim was interested in moving towards a stipend sort of situation rather than call based. I don't know. Is that what you said at one time, Tim?
Yes, that was something that I was exploring, so that Monterey AMR can actually plan the budgeting and we can plan the budgeting for the full year.
Can you get closer to whatever microphone is picking you up? I'm picking up about a three.
So yeah, that was something that I toyed with and then brought to people's attention just for an idea to talk about, because there are some months, like in the summer, we're super busy, where it might work out better to Monterey County, but in the wintertime, when we don't have that many calls, it would actually be better for the district, and we would have a set dollar amount that we can put in the budget that we get every month consistently, kind of like rent. So instead of trying to budget for four calls a month or three calls and having none, we have a set dollar amount in the budget that we know we're going to get.
Okay, well, that's something that could be an agenda item for the August board meeting.
Okay.
I think, anyway.
Would you put it on, and if we're not ready at that point, we'll take it off?
Yeah.
Okay.
And hopefully you'll be introducing the new director of finance.
Well, that would be terrific. We hope so, too. Simone, there was a... forgive my poor memory, but where did we leave off on the performance indicators and the reporting on our accounts receivable? There's no change in that situation.
But I'm hoping that the director will be able to go in there and look at reports and
maybe just manually produce our own, because I think we need to monitor that and absent that. Okay, well, we'll push that off. There's also Tim in. You've had a lot on your plate, so I'm not... I think that July, wasn't that the time period in which the benchmark county data on quality comes out?
I honestly don't know, but I can check with the MSA. Like I said, they have two employees leaving and two new employees starting. So they're in a tailspin with their staffing right now, trying to get people trained.
Okay. Yeah, because I do... Yeah, if you could just check on their quality data and when we might have, because I really don't think have yet gotten that objective met from the board to get good data.
I will revisit Mike's notes also, and then if it's okay, I'll send you guys a list of what I believe you guys want.
Yeah.
So that we can get a defined list that I can then take to the county and pull once we get image trend. To allow me to have the access that I need to pull the data, because that's actually where all the data comes from, is from ImageTrend.
ImageTrend, yeah.
But we're having a trouble with ImageTrend right now. The only system administrator happens to be our former IT gentleman, and when Bob Sayers left and we had a little run of administrators, no one ever updated the system. So ImageTrend still serves Bob Sayers and Jeremy Kantner as the only two people that can make changes or have access to the system. So.
And is that just a matter of Jeremy getting back from?
Well, Jeremy stepped down from IT, which means he shouldn't have access to be able to get into the back doors of ImageTrend anyway, since he's not the IT person.
But I assume we need him to make the change?
No, we actually need Bob Sayers to make the change.
Oh. Where is he?
And get a hold of him. We pay him lots of benefits every month.
Well, I can't. It would actually take ImageTrend getting a hold of them, and it's a battle that I'm. In fact, during this meeting, I sent a very strongly worded email to the gentleman in ImageTrend that I've been talking to. The settings to get done this week, and if I need to talk to somebody in management, then please let me know.
Very good.
Okay.
We'll see what happens with that. Anything else for today? All right, and hearing nothing else, I call this meeting to a close at 10:43 a.m. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.